You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. Joins us, Dave. How you doing?
I'm good, Jason. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, you know what? There's lots happening, man. In your city, it's Jays mania right now.
Can't lose. 11 in a row at home. Beat the Yankees all the time. I mean, I don't know. I think the Jays might be a good baseball team, Jason.
They are pretty. Now, do you go to games often in Toronto?
You know what? I have not been to a Jays game yet this year. But if they continue this, I might have to try to find my way down there. Maybe it's that I'm a little older. Now I'm not old, but older. My desire to go downtown at any time when I do not have to work seems to diminish by the week, by the month, by the year. And so it is one ordeal or another these days to get downtown. And then when you are downtown, there always seems to be some other nonsense that's going on. And so it just, it loses the appeal, but might find my way down to a Jays game because they're playing pretty good. And I'd like Asher to check out the park since they redid it.
Yeah. Well, I know they've lowered the attendance quite a bit. It's down to like, 42,000 or something like that. But it's rocking right now. And obviously, I'm sure they didn't lose any money. They just upped the prices everywhere else probably. And took out some seats. Although I did
notice. It's outrageous what they've jacked the prices to in some locations. Like from like $16,000 to like $40,000 for the equivalent seats, these same seats. I mean.
Oh, jeez.
I know.
It's so like an Oiler playoff game. Hi-yo!
Yeah. I mean, at least they go to the final, right, every year. So we'll see. You can raise the price to whatever you want to make up for the loss in revenue for the reduction of the capacity. But if people aren't buying the seats, then I don't know. We'll see. A good thing they have a winning ball team right now. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. A few things in the NHL. Doing some off-season number crunching and, you know, looking at scheduling and travel and different things around the league. And I stumbled across the fact that the power plays, the lowest power play opportunity per game in NHL history this past season. And from 2 years ago, we're down almost 1,000 power play opportunities. It was actually 957 in less than they had in 2023 and 880 less than what they had in 2024. I did hear a lot more people, that should be a penalty, it's not called. The NHL has done this before, Dave, and I sense that we're getting to a trend again where, we're not going to call penalties. Our stars have to fight through everything.
Yeah, I think the numbers back that up, and I agree with you that there were times this year where you would look at plays and say, how is that not a penalty? And it did get the feel that more was let go this year than we had become accustomed to in past years. So it's interesting to hear numbers back that up. What I would find interesting, and I would have to look it up because I don't know it off the top of my head, where is scoring at in general this year? Is it up in general or is it down?
Because down over the last 4 years, it's the lowest it's been.
Okay, so yeah, there you go. I think there's a correlation there to the reduction of power plays, because obviously a lot of goals happen on the man advantage. It's interesting because you talk to people at the league level and the general consensus is that the game is in very good shape right now. They like how the game looks, how it translates on television, how it translates in the arena. There is a level of comfort and satisfaction with where the game is at in that regard. I think the league would point to the Stanley Cup playoffs and say, you're not compelled by that? Did you not find that exciting? And I think to an extent, yeah, you'd have to agree it. The playoffs are probably better than the NBA's playoffs these days. I think if you're just a sports fan from a pure excitement standpoint, the NHL can compete with anybody right now. But once you get within the game, Are they leaving something on the table by as you point out, having calls that should be penalties let go, and could the product be even better? I think that's the balancing act that the league is trying to find. Don't have it so that it is a game called power play, but also make sure that penalties that absolutely should be penalties get called, and then it's incumbent on the players to make that adjustment to not commit the infractions once they know where the standard is.
Well, to me, the rule book's there. They just don't enforce it. That's the problem. If you actually look through the history of the NHL and power play opportunities, since they tracked it, which goes back to 1978 or 77, 78, this past season, like, it's the lowest ever of any year since they've tracked it. We're talking, you know, over almost 50 years, and this was the lowest. And the game's faster than ever, but the players are more disciplined. I don't buy it for a second. The NHL, I watch way too many games where I'm like, that's an obvious penalty, and they don't call it. Mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, no, I get it. I really do. You know, you could make the converse argument that the bottom of the roster today is better than the bottom of the rosters in 1979. Guys that played down the lineup in those days, you know, at times looked like they were skating with rubber boots on. Nowadays, everybody can skate well, but in saying that, the pace of the game has increased to the point where, are players more likely to commit fouls? It's hard to say, but I do agree that there were issues at times I thought this year that penalties that should have been obvious penalties were let go. I might be in the minority here, Jason. You and I might differ on this, and I think we do. I don't want to see the game become a game of power play. And I know you're going to say, well, then the players need to adjust. You're not wrong. But how quickly can they adjust?
But has there ever been a time where the game has been about power plays? Where you're like, oh my God, they're like, even in 2006, when they had the most, right? But they were just saying, we're going to eliminate obstruction. And I talked to the players, and by the end of the year, the player's like, okay, I know what I'm not doing. But the rules are right there. And it's not like it's saying, oh, we need 8 power plays total. Like, it was 5.41 per game in the NHL. That's combined for both teams. So that's not even 3 power plays. That's not even 1 power play per period per team, which isn't a crazy number, right? It's not a crazy number at all. There's more power plays in the playoffs per game than there were in the regular season, right?
That's
and so
yeah.
I just, to me, I believe that most infractions are called on the guys who have the puck. Right? Like, there's not a lot. It's not like football where you can, you know, you can have holding downfield and it's not the guy. In the NHL, the vast majority, sometimes maybe you cross check a guy in front of the net, he doesn't have the puck. But usually the penalty is impacting somebody who had the puck or is just has the puck. That's how it is. And who has the puck the most in the NHL? The better players. So basically, it's like our better players now are having to fight through more, and the other leagues don't do it. I was looking at the NFL's number of flags. You know, the NBA actually, the NBA decided they thought it was too chop happy, which is fine. People said, hey, let's just play a little bit of a physical brand. And I'd have no problem if the NHL was allowing body contact. Mm-hmm. But it's, well, they do allow hits from behind. And I don't care what anybody says. I don't need, well, hey, hit from behind. That should be a penalty all day, every day, 1,000 times a day. I just watched, I don't need to watch a guy hook a guy in the neutral zone and have no penalty. That's not an exciting play to me. I'd rather just see the penalty called, and if the players adapt to it and then they got to skate faster, then it speeds up the game and there's no penalty. I'm all for it. But right now, they've lowered their standard again, and I think it's a problem.
Yeah, you're right. It's going to be interesting to see how it evolves next year. I think a lot of the decisions that the league makes are as a result of conversations with the managers. And when you hear a desire amongst the managers to evolve in one direction or another, you will get a standard to go down that road. When there isn't, there's reluctance on the part of the league to alter the standard, or in this case, perhaps, not reluctance to lower the standard, but a desire to lower the standard of what is a penalty based on what they're hearing from the member teams. Like, I don't like ticky-tack calls. You know, like, quite honestly, when a guy is hard on a stick in a puck battle, not coming over the top with like a tomahawk slash, but hard on the stick when you go into the corner and the guy's stick breaks in half just because it's a, you know, not a piece of lumber anymore, but whatever the hell they make sticks out of, and it's weak and it breaks because the guy is strong, and you call a slashing penalty. I don't like those penalties. I would be all in favor of them getting away from those calls, but then upping the standard for examples that you point out, like in the neutral zone, where a guy chips it past the defenseman at the blue line, has a step on the guy, and the defenseman reaches around with a shepherd's hook, and maybe doesn't even haul the guy down, but knocks him off stride a little bit, so either he or the guy coming behind him can catch him in pursuit. I want a penalty there all day long, because what you're taking away quite likely is an exciting play, a breakaway or a two-on-one in that case. So by all means, I like that there. But the ticky-tack calls where guys are being strong in the corners and a stick breaks and suddenly, like, that to me is also not an, it's more exciting to see guys battle and to see who can win the puck. So it's a tough one, because I think there should be varying standards for multiple calls within the rule book, if that makes sense, if you see what I'm saying. But in fast break, in transition, when there are when there are infractions committed that prevent what is likely to be an exciting play and an advantage or an earned advantage, yeah, I think there should be penalties there. I don't think it should be let go.
Looking at the summer here, and most rosters are now complete. There's still a few guys left over that haven't been signed. You know, like, I don't know if Jack Roslovich is going to move the needle as much as some think. I know they thought that he was automatically going to be tied in to the Dakota Joshua trade, but lo and behold, that doesn't look like it's the case just yet. Vancouver didn't just make the trade to free up the money for that. Maybe they made it for a different reason. But is there one team, Dave, now that you've had some time sitting out in nature, looking at the this off season, do you think any team has actually really improved themselves?
I've gone over this for the last two or three weeks here, really since the dust settled after July 1st. And I still can't come up with a team that has improved itself to the extent where it's put itself in the Stanley Cup conversation. There's a lot of teams that I think will be better this year. I think Columbus has the ability to continue to get better and push for a playoff spot. You look at Dmitry Voronkov, Adam Fantilli, Kent Johnson, and Kirill Marchenko. Those are four young core forwards. All four of them set career highs in goals and assists last year. They should only continue to get better. They brought in some veterans like Charlie Coyle, Miles Wood, to supplement their lineup. They've got guys like Luca Del Belbelouge, maybe the best name in hockey, who came up, played good minutes for them when they needed him last year, and was dominant in the American Hockey League. He should push. Denton Mateychuk on the back end, second in points among rookie defensemen, yet he only played the 10th most minutes among rookie defensemen, but he still played 18 minutes a night in over half the season. He's a guy that'll likely get better. There's a lot of good there with Columbus, but they're not a cup contender. You could make a similar argument for the Anaheim Ducks, not a cup contender. I think if you're a Florida Panthers fan right now, you got to be foaming at the mouth with the position that your team finds itself in, because I really do think the list is Florida number one, and then like way down here, two starts. Hmm. And I think it would have to be the Golden Knights at this point. But I'm still not thrilled with them as a team. Yeah, they got Mitch Marner, who should help them produce offensively during the regular season, and at times that was an issue for them. I don't know what he's going to do in the playoffs because I never saw it happen here in Toronto. And Alex Pietrangelo is now no longer part of the program there. See, he was told to fill in the back end. They haven't filled it yet. So you look at teams that either lost two teams where in the first round it was a couple of cup contenders like Dallas, Colorado, or teams that went deep. Who's really gotten better? Has Colorado? I don't think so. Has Dallas? I don't think so. Has Winnipeg? I don't think so. Has Toronto? I don't think so. Has Tampa Bay? I don't think so. Has Edmonton? I don't think so. So who's going to knock off Florida right now? And a lot of stuff can happen. Injuries, a lot of mileage on their chassis, yeah. Can get a little older. Who knows? We'll see. But at this point, I don't see how you can point to another team and be really excited about them having a chance to dethrone Florida at this point.
Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM joins us. Dave, with all the new rules that are coming in for the new CBA, there will be a playoff salary cap, no more double retention. Was there anything you would have liked to have seen them add to the CBA that they didn't?
Honestly, nothing really comes to mind. I think the biggest thing was the playoff salary cap, just so that I don't have to hear people whine about it on Twitter anymore. That'd be great. So I think that to me was the most obvious thing. And I know it's something that you and I had talked about for many years. It's a pretty simple fix. Mm-hmm. I remember for so many years, how are they going to come? And you came up with it. And that's pretty much what they did. You can have your roster be whatever, but the guys that you dress that night have to be cap compliant. So you can't hoard $10 million players and then pull three out of nowhere on game one of the playoffs. I think that's really smart, and it will go to mitigate a perceived level of unfairness. And I think anytime you can work your sport to where it has the highest perception of fairness is a good thing. And especially when it works against contravening what the spirit of the rule in the first place is to not have an advantage for teams with inflated revenue, where they can afford to do that. Only certain teams could do that routine with the salary cap because they're willing to spend the money. You never saw smaller market teams where they were really gate dependent really go down that road all that long because they can't afford it. It's not an option. So the spirit of the salary cap, and there will be many people that that dispute the need for a salary cap in general. I am not one of them. I do think it brings a more even playing field. But the spirit of that rule is to provide a level playing field, and then teams found ways to work around it. So now we've got away from that. I think that's a good thing. I guess the only thing that I would point to is, and this would again require another complex solution, but a way to balance out the tax standpoint in various marketplaces where there are teams that have more advantageous circumstances when it comes to their tax brackets, their tax codes, than other teams. That would be really difficult. I don't know how they would find an answer for that, especially if a guy gets traded from Tampa Bay to Toronto mid-season and what that would do to his cap hit when you have to factor in all the permutations of the change in the tax code that the guy is now playing under. I don't know how you figure that out, but I just wonder if that's something that down the road they can continue to look at and attack and try and find a way to balance that out. Because I think that's where we're heading now, Jason. Now that we've fixed the playoff salary cap, the next common argument, as we've already seen a lot this year, is, wow, Florida, Tampa Bay, Dallas, Nashville, Vegas, it's not fair. They've got an advantage where other teams don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure I buy that much into. I look at the fact that teams have added $9.5 million players at the playoffs three times, and they all won. So I think that is the biggest advantage that led to it more than anything else. And now that that won't be gone, this will be the last year. This could be the year, Dave, if you're ever going to load it up in LTIR, this is the year to do it. So I'm sure. And trust me, any team that some team be like, geez, maybe we'll get an injury at the Olympic break. And boom, that's going to free it. Because, hey, the Panthers, at least I appreciate their honesty because they didn't hide behind the fact, hey, you wouldn't be here, Seth, if I didn't get hurt. And it's pretty much true in the case of Tkachuk. So it helped him, and away we go. Davey, enjoy the summer. Get out to a Jays game, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, see you, buddy.